Thank you for the surprise that awaited me in the driveway. I'm not quite sure I understand it all, but I do thank you.
So, the text of the message tonight is going to be found in Mark chapter 9.
Mark chapter 9, if you want to turn there, we'll start in verse 14. Up to here, Jesus goes up on the mountain prior to this. He had taken Peter, James, and John up there, and it's when he was transfigured, and he was really bright and seen with Elijah and Moses in front of the three disciples. He's on his way back down the mountain, and he's approaching the other disciples, starting verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who was possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Failure, it has a great impact on our lives. Once beaten, twice shy. When we fail, we are hit by discouragement, fear, and even doubts shed in that we can ever succeed. That makes the next attempt, the second or third, more difficult. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of the boy's father for a minute. He's a worried father. He's trying to find a cure for his son. He has little hope that he's heard of this Jesus. I don't know if he's seen him earlier, maybe witnessed some miracles, or somebody told him about Jesus. But he decides, okay, I'm going to bring my boy to Jesus. So off he goes with him to try to find him, but he can't find him. Jesus is up on the mountain. But he does run into 9 of his disciples. So he asked them for some help. The disciples tried. They tried to cast out the demon, but they failed. Nothing happened. Why were they powerless at this time? They had a similar ministry in the past. If we look back at chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, verse 13, it says, they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people and healed people with oil and healed them. Jesus reacted with these words, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you?" Jesus gave the answer to the disciples when they asked him privately. This kind can only come out by prayer, and they should have prayed. Apparently, the disciples did not trust God fully at this crucial moment. They trusted themselves. Maybe they had come to believe that the power was inherent among themselves, you know, kind of like a magician waving his magic wand. Whatever it was, the disciples did not exercise believing prayer. They were relying upon themselves rather than God. We see the impact of this failure. First, the Father, he begins to doubt if even Jesus can help him. And the teachers of the law began arguing with the disciples over the failure, and a large crowd had developed. Then Jesus comes with the other three disciples. You know, what a contrast here. We have Peter, James, and John up on the mountain witnessing God's power and His glory and having a good time. Then we have the other 9 disciples, and they're failing miserably in their ministry, struggling at a failed attempt to demonstrate the healing power of God in their prayer. It was causing a great commotion. The desperate and hurting father said, "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Jesus immediately fixes the "if" clause. He corrected them straight away. If you can, everything is possible for him who believes. He doubted naturally set in. The initial attempt had failed, and that was affecting his approach to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we cannot let failure rob us of our faith. Whether it is failures of others or our own failures or some unforeseen circumstances or things that did not work out right, in an imperfect world with imperfect people, in an imperfect church with imperfect Christians, we are bound to see failures after failures. We must not let these setbacks rob us of our faith in God. He has not changed, and He will not fail. Setbacks and failures in life will not change Him or His ability one bit. What is important is the advice that Jesus gave. Listen to it carefully. Everything is possible for him who believes. See, it's about you. It's about the boy's father. It's about me. It doesn't matter what really went wrong with the disciples. It doesn't matter if the teachers of the law do not believe. You must believe. Others may have failed. Some may have fallen. But you stand firm and keep your faith in God. We must be determined not to let doubt set in. Focus on God. Don't build your faith in people. My faith is not built upon what I see in people or circumstances, but what God has said. This means that our lives only have as much God in them as our faith will permit. Can we expect to see or receive His promises without faith? Apply this today in your studies, your work, your ministry. God is looking for people who will believe in Him and take Him at His word no matter what. No matter what circumstances they're seeing or people are telling us. Joshua and Caleb were two such people who took God at His word. Even though they had seen the same enemies the other spies had seen, the majority was wrong. That's why God gave a wonderful compliment about Caleb. Numbers 14, verse 24, "My servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly." Could he say the same thing about each of us? As a result of this willingness to side with God's promise, Caleb and Joshua got to enter the land. The other 10 spies and a million or two other people, they died along the way. Jesus is asking the question, "Can you trust me?" The father's response was honest. The man replied with a statement that I believe could be said by almost every Christian at some point. "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." There's no doubt in my mind that there are those of us even here tonight who believe in Jesus, the Bibles, the miracles. But there are times in our Christian walk when God asks us to do something that appears to be too difficult, too large for us to handle. Looking at the task at hand and then looking in the mirror, often we begin to doubt or just flat out suffer from unbelief. The boy's father declares that he believes and yet acknowledges himself to have unbelief. These two statements may appear to contradict each other. There's none of us that does not experience both of them within himself. Notice the emphasis is not on the degree, the quality, or the amount of a man's faith. It has to do with his trusting relationship in Jesus. Focus in not on faith, but the object of faith. Kenny, he likes to swim. Not very good at it yet. I'm not even sure if he was left alone, if he wouldn't drown. But he loves swimming. I remember the first time we took him swimming, he did what we all do, and he grabbed onto the side of the pool, held on tight, worked his way around the perimeter. Had to get in the pool and go stand by him and hold out my hand and, "Kenny." See, Kenny knew, or he thought he couldn't swim. And he knew that side that he was clinging to would hold him up. But he did come to me because he knew that he could cling on to me. It's not just a matter of faith, but the presence of the object of faith. Faith in God is like that, letting go of life, lived on our own terms, our own strength, and clinging with all your might to the person of Jesus. This is what the boy's father finally does. "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." It's a prayer. Faith expresses itself in prayer. These two go together. Where there's little faith, there's little prayer. And where there's little prayer, there's little faith. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, "This kind can only come out by prayer." I believe he was not referring to some particular prayer method or technique that you must use. It has nothing to do with what to pray when you come face to face with a demon that's going to make it work. Jesus himself did not stop and pray before he cast out the demon. It's not a special trust or technique. It's not a trust in a special technique or a set of words, but a trust in the Almighty, the loving God, whose healing power would flow when we fully depend on Him. This kind of faith cannot come through a momentary prayer during a crisis. It can only come through a relationship. a lifestyle of communion with God. You can have faith in God because you have been talking to Him. Jesus Himself exemplifies such a lifestyle. He had unwavering faith in God. He was always in touch with His Father, always walking in reliance upon Him and drawing His strength and power from Him. He had tremendous strength. How did he get it? He prayed. God gave him the strength. He always focused on God through everything in his life. And when he was little and his parents found him in the temple, Jesus speaks about his Father as the source of all his words and actions. When he withdrew himself from the crowd and even from his closest friends, he withdraws himself to be with the Father. Mark 1:35. In the morning, long before dawn, he got up and left the house and went off to a lonely place and prayed there. Throughout his life and ministry, Jesus always considered his relationship with the Father. Many of us can identify with the characters in this drama. Maybe some of us are like the disciples. We are already believers in Christ, but our walk is lukewarm and our ministry is sometimes ineffective. The disciples made the mistake of thinking that the power to minister effectively in Jesus' name was inherent in themselves. This was a form of unbelief because they began to trust in themselves rather than in God. Jesus gently reminded them that it was not they but God who overcomes evil. Therefore, faith in God is critical and prayer is necessary. We become so busy in our lives, with our families, even with church and our ministries, with work, with school, neighbors, and the list goes on. Have we allowed ourselves to fall into the temptation of sacrificing prayer for time? Are we too busy to pray? Too many needs to attend to? Too many people to respond to? Too many wounds to heal? Our attitude cannot be prayer is a luxury, something to do during a free hour, or a day away from work, or on a retreat. It is only when the disciples were caught up short that they learned that they didn't possess any power of themselves. The power and strength they needed belonged entirely to God. It must be received from Him through a life of prayer, dependent prayer. Before we become too hard on the disciples, we ought to admit that we are often just like them. We too are plagued by failure, too ready to engage in arguments, undisciplined in our prayer life, and more eager to learn techniques and depend on ourselves and to take time to walk closely with God. Our battle against Satan requires a lifestyle of prayer too. We need to be always dependent upon Him, and this trusting relationship can be developed through a prayer life. Like a branch that thinks it can survive without the vine, we often act as though we can overcome life's struggles and minister in even God's name, relying solely on our own strength. We need to develop a humble dependence upon God for all that we do. Whether we are serving in worship, witnessing to a friend, discipling our children, or caring for one another, we must pray for His mighty work to be done in and through us. Jesus reminds us, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." It's found in John 15, verses 4 and 5. We can be talented and gifted, even prepared and organized. But if we do not remain in constant contact with the source of our power, we will fail. God may have given you a gift. He's given just about everyone a gift. But unless we maintain a humble dependence upon Him to express our gift, it becomes ineffective. Maybe some of us may be like the father in our story. Like him, our disbelief comes from disappointment, discouragement. Maybe your faith has received a setback because of the shortcomings of those who profess to trust in Jesus. Maybe you have been disappointed by the church or somebody in the church. Whatever the reasons, we want to put our trust in Jesus, but sometimes we feel there's too big of a gap for our faith to bridge. Good news is that we don't need a lot of faith. Sounds funny to say that. Matthew 17 verse 20 and Luke 17 verse 6 talks about if you got as much faith as a mustard seed, you could tell the mountain to be moved and it would be moved. You could tell the tree to be uprooted and put in the water and it would happen. It's not the size of our faith, but the object of our faith that is important. We're not left on our own. God will supply where we are insufficient. Failures around us need not rob us of faith in God. Another thing about faith, if we put it into action, it will help us overcome unbelief. The book of James tells us, faith without works is dead. James 2, verse 20. Faith without works of faith is dead. It's just talk. But a genuine faith will produce works of faith. And when you see God move in your life, it will assist you in overcoming unbelief. I believe, help me overcome my unbelief. It is possible for our lives to be changed. It is possible to bridge the gap between doubt and faith, weakness and strength. Jesus says it is all possible if you believe Him. If you trust your life to Him and lean on His strength. All things are possible for us when we believe, because all things are possible with whom we believe. Thank you.